All right, so 2 Corinthians. This is a very, very interesting book. I love it. Like I said, it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. Paul is writing this. He's writing it with Timothy. Timothy was with Paul on one of his missionary journeys during this time. Paul had already gone to Corinth before this. He had already written 1 Corinthians. Obviously, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, kind of numerical order, if you will. But Paul had already been there, and things started happening in Corinth. Corinth before, the old Corinth, as we'll call it, was more old, decrepit. It wasn't as vibrant as this new Corinth, as we'll call it. See, a movement started to happen in Rome where they started pouring money into these bigger cities that they wanted to revitalize. They wanted to revive these cities and make them more wealthy so that way trade would happen. And Corinth was on the trade route. So they poured money into this city and things started happening. Temples started being built for Roman gods and different things started happening. And the church that was established in Corinth by Paul started becoming enticed by these other things, these other prophets that started popping up that would proclaim the name of Jesus, but then twist words and twist actions. And they would say that Paul wasn't really an apostle of Jesus, that Paul wasn't true, that he didn't have the authority to speak. And so Paul, when writing this, he's writing to a church in which he loves, and he says that multiple times, but it's also a church in which he's been hurt by. And so we're going to look at this in this first chapter. There's a lot of pain that Paul is portraying, not just because of things that have happened on his missionary journey. He was beat up and abused and all of those things happened on this missionary journey before he's writing this and while he's writing this, but he's also writing it because they have hurt him by believing the enticing words of others, right? So let's read through verses 1 through 11, and then we'll dive in. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. So Paul starts out by identifying who he is, by identifying that he does have the authority, and he says that by Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by what? By the will of God. God had given Paul the authority to speak to these churches, to be a church planter, right? So what was happening was teachers were coming into Corinth and saying, Paul's not true, don't listen to Paul, I'm the one you need to be listening to, it's me, not him, I have God, I have the Spirit of God, listen to me, not him. And they were contradicting what Paul was teaching them, contradicting what Paul was saying, that you need to live a pure and holy life and stay focused on God. And so Paul writes, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and no one else. I don't have the stamp of man's approval. Right? He's said that before. I didn't come to bring you lofty words or sweet sonnets. I came to bring you Christ and him crucified. And that was it for Paul. Right? So it would be like me. If I came up here, I'm the new kid in town, literally. And if I came up here and said, hey, you guys have been listening to this crazy kook of a man named Larry. You guys should not be listening to him anymore. You guys need to be listening to me now. He's false. I'm true. That would be crazy. But the thing that was happening was people were believing it. People were naive in the sense where they just were like, oh, okay. Yeah, Paul's out. And these are people that Paul loved, that Paul poured into, that Paul spent time with. And so he was hurt. And so he goes on to say to the church of God that is at Corinth with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in my Bible, over the chapter 1, and then it says verse 1 and verse 2, right? And it splits it. It divides it and says greeting, right? That's what my Bible says. It says greeting. It is a greeting, but it also is something that's very important for us to understand. Paul writes this a lot. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes that several times, right? Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:3, Galatians 1:3, Ephesians 1:2, Philippians 1:2. He literally writes this constantly. And it's something of a reminder to them. Why? Grace is the gift that we are given from God. It's nothing earned of ourselves, but it's totally a gift from the Lord. We can't do anything to earn grace. It's freely given. Peace, on the other hand, is the action in which we take grace with. Right? If we have received the grace of God, then we will actively have peace within our lives. But if we don't, then our lives will be turned upside down, right? And how do you have the grace of God? Submitting your life to him. How do you have the peace of God? Continually submitting your life to him. Those two things go hand in hand. And that's why Paul starts his letter like that. He says, hey, you've been given a gift, grace. Actively pursue that grace and you'll have peace. Right? So, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he identifies God for them yet again. And that's a very interesting thing because so many things are happening in this new Corinth, right? Different temples are popping up, different prophets are popping up saying, oh yeah, you can worship Jesus, but this God too. Or, oh, you can do this and this and this and this and you're still good. And that wasn't the case. So Paul defines who God is. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's identifying who God is. These other gods that were popping up in Corinth, they weren't those things. They weren't the Father of Jesus. They weren't the God of all mercies. They weren't the God of all comfort. They couldn't do anything for them. They were inanimate objects that were being worshipped. Or it was their fleshly lusts and desires that were being worshipped. One of the big things, one of the big temples was a prostitution that was massive, and it was enticing, and it was totally just to fulfill the lusts of their flesh. And so he writes down who God is. This is the God that you worship. This is the God that I brought to you. Blessed be God, Father of Jesus Christ, Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. And then he goes on to say, who comforts us in our affliction. So he's not an inanimate God. He's not a stationary God. He's not a God where you have to come into a church and sit down in chairs and only worship him when you're in this room. He's actively pursuing you wherever you are, whether here or there or anywhere. He's actively with you. So who comforts us in our affliction? That's very important for Paul, because throughout, if you look at Paul's missionary journeys, he was a very afflicted person. He went through so many different things. And probably more than we'll understand, more than we can comprehend, more than is written down for us. He was the plow that God used to turn hard soil. That's a title that I would love to have. And it would be hard. But man, what a blessing. What a blessing Paul was to us, because most of the New Testament is written by him. So just think about that. Think about the fact that most of what we read in the New Testament is written by Paul, a man who was so afflicted, but he loved so well. And that was because he had the grace and peace of God. So he comforts us in our affliction. So Paul is telling us he comforts us in our affliction. Why does he do that? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. So he's explaining, hey, we're being afflicted, but it's for your benefit. It's for you, and for us, and for you. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. This study is going to kind of be a little bit of an inductive Bible study of looking at each individual thing and sort of talking through each verse. But I also wanted to share a little bit of my testimony, because not many of you know me intimately. And this is a good place for me to jump into that. So I was born in 1991, very young, June 15th, 1991. And I was born to Marshall and Donna. And I had two brothers, John and Marshall. And I was born into a very chaotic world. My father was a drug addict and alcoholic and a diabetic. My mother was struggling to keep the family together and try to maintain a relationship with a God that she knew when she was young. Fast forward 2 years, my dad has now surrendered his life, his drugs, his alcohol, his addictions to the Lord, and is living out a wonderful life of service unto the King of Kings. He completely did a 180 transformation. And so he took what happened and what he chose to do with his life, and he started comforting and guiding and directing people that were going through the things that he had went through. Drug addicts, alcoholics, and also making amends with people that he deeply hurt, including my brothers, myself, and my mom. Fast forward 4 years. Like I said, he was a diabetic. During the time period where he was a heavy drug user and alcoholic, he wasn't taking insulin. He'd forget, or he'd just neglect it. So come 4 years later, he passed away. He died of a massive heart attack. And thank God that that God revealed himself to my dad. And I say all that, and I wanted to share that because we sometimes can get so confined in what happens in circumstances within our life that we think it's just happening to us or it's only for us. Now, my mom took it in stride. She was totally angelic in the fact that she just loved me and my brothers, and she just continued to press on. And then she started a ministry called Widows Helping Widows.
Wow.
That's its acronym. And she's helped hundreds of women that have lost their husbands too soon or later on in life. And that's what Paul's going to talk about here. Hey, you've gone through things. We've gone through things. But it's not just for you. It's for others too. It's not just for you. Don't hold on to it. Don't suppress it and push it down. It's not just for you. Me being the son of a widow is not just for me. Right? I've interacted and I've been around kids that were my age that lost their dads either at my age or younger than me. And I could minister to them or just come alongside them and be next to them and comfort them in a way that I wouldn't have understood if I didn't have those afflictions in my life. Are there afflictions within your life that you hold on to that God's saying, hey, that's not just for you? You've learned lessons from that, but it's not just for you. And are you actively pursuing sharing that? You know, we talk about being the body of Christ, and that's great when it's talk, but it's better when it's actually productively put out. And affliction within the body is for the whole body. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. Right? So when you hurt, when you go through things, share that amongst the body. Right? We're not supposed to be burdened on our own. Right? I think of it like this. I'm my wife will tell you I'm a metaphor man. I like metaphors. So when you look at a house, right, does it only have one beam that holds its structure up? One single beam that completely carries the weight of the entire house? No. That's the simple answer. No, it doesn't. So why do we expect to carry the weight of our own affliction by ourselves? Why do we expect to go throughout life withholding or suppressing things that have happened to us and not share them amongst one another? There's this fear, and it's weird because, you know, Chris and I have lived in different cultures and different countries, and we've seen a lot of different things, even from East Coast, West Coast, and now, like, mid area. I don't know what Colorado is. Is that, like, Midwest Coast? I don't know. but we've lived in a lot of different cultures, and we've seen a lot of different things. And one thing that I can say is that there is this fear of sharing your hurt among Christians. There is this fear of sharing your pain. And that is so sad. That's so sad. Because you limit what you can do for the body, and you limit what the body can do for you. You do. Because you might be going through something. You might be hurting. You might be in pain. Right? And there's a person that's going through the same thing, that's in the same pain, or struggling with the same thing. And they're not speaking up. You're not speaking up. But if you would, you guys could join together with God and progress together. Work through those afflictions. Work through those pains and sufferings. But when you don't speak up, when you keep quiet, then you miss out on that. And Paul is not keeping quiet. That's the thing. Paul is not, he doesn't pull his punches. And that's one thing I really like about Paul. He does not pull his punches. He goes in. He goes at it. So, Paul is saying, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Notice that he doesn't say that are within the body only, though. Right? We talked about comforting each other because we're the body and we're a house. Right? We're a house, and many of us can carry the weight of the house. But also, we're supposed to go out. We're supposed to step out of the house and go into the world and comfort those that are hurting out there. They don't have the God of comfort. They don't have the God of the Father of all mercies. They don't have Him. And one of the best ways to bring God to a hurting world is by comforting them. And that could be absolutely wordless. Absolutely wordless. And that's one thing that I am really looking forward to with living in Denver. Right? Larry and I are very much kindred spirits in a lot of ways. I'm younger than he is, and he's older than I am, obviously. But we're very kindred spirits in a lot of ways, and one of those ways is we want to see a hurting world healed. And we'll do it with whatever means God allows us to. And so I look at these opportunities and I see these things that are happening, right? We have the breast cancer march, and we have the gay parade, and we have all these different things that are happening around us, 420 event. All these things where all these people are hurting. And all we would have to do is show them love. And it could be silent love. But love nonetheless, and that would chip away at their spirit, at their soul, at their walls that are around their heart. And that's comforting. Walking up to somebody and saying, "Hey, how are you? How are you doing?" Or seeing somebody who needs something and fulfilling that need. Those are comforting things. Right? How many times have we been in a situation where we're like, "Hey, we're praying to the Lord." Carissa and I have been in this situation just countless times. "Lord, we don't have money for groceries. We really need groceries." This happened a lot in Slovenia. And we would just be like, "All right, Lord, you brought us here. You'll sustain us here. Okay." And 100% of the time, we got groceries. How many times do we see those people within our lives that we notice that we can comfort in that? Saying, "Hey, the Lord will step up. When you're pressing into Him, He presses into you." And that's comforting. And we can bring that comfort to a hurting world. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we receive ourselves are comforted by God. So like I said, when we press into God, He comforts us, and we can take that comfort out. "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." so we share in Christ's sufferings. You know, one of the things that that living in a different country kind of shows you is what we would perceive as suffering, other people would receive as abundance. And being an American and being an American Christian, I can say with confidence that a lot of us are afraid of suffering. And at the first inkling of anything of suffering, it's like walls get slammed down. And we can be confined to an area where we don't want that. But there's blessing in that. You go to some of these countries that have nothing. I mean nothing. And they're some of the happiest people in the world. And even more so when they know who God is, when they know Jesus. They're just, you can't tell them anything about how could you do that? How could you sleep there? How could you live in that? They just say, it's what God has. And it's humbling. It's so humbling. And we so easily forget that there is a world bigger than us. And that we're a part of a body bigger than this church. And that suffering is a blessing. Right? In Psalms, you look at Psalm 119, right? And he says, I love your affliction. What? I love your sufferings. I love them. Okay, David, what are you trying to say here? Why? Why do you love them? Because it places me in a position to be desperately in need of you. If we're never in a place in desperate need of God, what's the point of needing God? Why would we need him if we don't need him? I need him. I'm in a desperate place of suffering daily, not because of the affliction of the outside world, but because of my own sin nature. My heart is wicked, and I desperately need him. And in that desperation, he meets it with comfort. And that's what Paul is talking about. The affliction of our souls can not only be from the outside world, but it can be within ourselves. So through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. That is an encouraging verse. Underline that verse. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort, in his comfort. What an encouraging verse that is. We share in Christ's sufferings, but we share in his comfort as well. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. So if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. I don't think that we think in those terms. At least I don't. I'll speak for myself. I, a lot of times, don't think in those terms of the fact that I'm being afflicted for somebody else's comfort and somebody else's salvation. That the things that happen within my life are for somebody else's comfort and somebody else's salvation. That God can use the things that happen within my life for somebody else to receive his salvation. That I could be that tool within his hand. I don't think in those terms, though, a lot of times. When you're in the midst of a storm, you don't always see that the storm lets up. You don't always see the end of the line. right? You focus on where you are. And what Paul is saying here is, hey, refocus. Jesus is the end of the line. He is the peace. He is the grace. He's the end of the storm. Go to that. And guess what? As the storm is around you, as you're in the midst of affliction, it's not just for your benefit. It's not just for your comfort, but it's for others' salvation. Right? We're supposed to go and be a light unto the world. Right? We're supposed to be that salt and light. That's what Paul's talking about. Hey, what happens to you is for others' salvation. And it goes back to the fact in verse 2 where he says, grace and peace. You've received a gift. Be in the peace actively. And the affliction that you have will be noticed by others. And it will be unto their salvation. Paul does this a lot where he gets repetitive. Right? We can see that. I'm kind of being repetitive like Paul. Comfort for their comfort, for our comfort, for your comfort. We're a body. Comfort the body. You're comforted. Just this whole. He says it again. Right? And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience. See, this is where Paul switches it up. This is where Paul wants them to pay attention, right? And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. So is Paul saying, oh, so we need to get beat up. We need to go on missionary journeys, and we need to get beat up, and we need to get knocked out, we need to get stoned, we need to get thrown in jail. Okay, to understand God's comfort, those are the things that I got to do. No, not at all. He's saying that when you patiently endure the sufferings that happen within life, right? Paul wasn't this only affected or thought of God, period. Like, he wasn't this perfection man. He sinned. He fell short. He withdrew. He was hurt. He hurt others. John Mark, Paul, Barnabas. He hurt others, right? It wasn't this, he wasn't perfection. Okay, so when he's talking about that, he's talking about patiently enduring. What does that mean, patiently enduring? Well, taking it one day at a time. Take what you're given one step at a time and go through it. Walk through it. Because the God of all comfort is there with you. And as you walk forward, he walks forward. As you step, he steps. He guides. He directs. He's actually the one who takes the first step. Because he died on the cross for you. He took that first step. And he's saying, walk with me. We'll get through this together. Patiently endure with me the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. Verse 7. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Is that the hope that you have for others in your life? That you are going through things that maybe others are as well or aren't. But sometimes what's comforting is seeing God at work in somebody's life. Maybe you're not even going through the same struggle or same affliction that somebody else is. But it encourages me when I see other people's lives begin to change and transform and God work in them. That comforts my soul. And their hope is unshaken. I love that because Paul has been hurt by them. But his hope for them has not changed. His hope for them is that they continually focus on Christ. And they're also going to share in the comfort of the Lord. Verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. Right, so he's talking about the fact that he went through beatings, imprisonment, stoning. All those things happened to him. Asia was a very hard time in the missionary journey. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Paul dealt with depression. If somebody walked up to you and said, man, I'm despairing of life itself. You'd be like, that sounds like depression. You know, there are hard things that we go through in life. And I'm saying that as a young person. To many of you which are older than me, almost all of you, except for 3-4 in the back. But the thing is that God wants to meet us in that place of hurt and depression. And when we retreat to that safe haven, that dark place, he wants to shine his light there if we allow that to happen. And I love that Paul wrote this down. Burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. He wasn't beyond feeling alone. Right? We can sometimes feel that God's very distant, that he's unreachable. Again, I'll speak for myself. I can feel that way. And when I feel that way, I retreat. I go on drives and I'm like, okay, God, show up, please. You know? Or I sit and I cry and just ask that God would be near. And the thing is it is encouraging and comforting to me that Paul wrote this, that he was burdened beyond his strength. You know what's amazing about that, though, is that the Lord is perfected in our weakness. His strength is perfected in our weakness. But the thing about Paul is that he admits that he's weak. And sometimes we need to get to that place of admitting, hey, God, I'm struggling. I'm hurt. I'm feeling alone. I'm feeling like there's no hope, like there's no end to this trial or this struggle. And he'll be faithful. Indeed, verse 9, indeed we felt that we had received the sentence of death. There it is again. Paul's showing us. This is how you comfort. By being real. By being legitimate. By not shaming or hiding away from what you're really going through. From who you really are. The sufferings that you really have within your life. He doesn't, and that's what I mean by Paul doesn't pull his punches. He's an open book. He's an open book for other people unto their salvation and unto their comfort. And this challenges me because I don't want to be an open book. I mean, we can get this idea of pastor, right? If a pastor gets up here and he says, hey guys, you know, I'm struggling with sin in my life. Like, oh, I can't listen to you. Shut you down. Why? I'm just a guy. Larry's just a guy. A guy that God has called to be a pastor of this church? Absolutely. A guy that has a higher calling? Absolutely. But a guy nonetheless. A guy who sins, a guy who falls short. But at what benefit would that be? I think it would be of great benefit to be able to be real and say, hey, I really am hurting. I really am struggling. I need God's comfort and your comfort just as much as you. And so does Larry and Pia and Jennifer and all of us. We all need the comfort of each other and the Lord. So we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us not rely on ourselves. There it is. There's the key. Here it is. Paul's letting us know. Paul's telling us right now, here it is. Here's the key to getting through your sufferings. Here's the key to getting through that pain, that affliction. What is the key? But that was not to make us rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. See, our afflictions are sometimes for us to die. That's just the reality. That's a hard reality, but it's the reality. Sometimes our afflictions are for us just to die. And we need to die. We need to die to ourselves. That's what Paul's saying here. They died to themselves. It was not for themselves. It was not so they could retreat and just focus on themselves. It was so that they could express and focus on God and focus on others. And he says it so clearly. They despaired of life itself, received the sentence of death, but they relied on the God who raises the dead. They literally are dying to themselves and being alive in Christ. What an amazing picture Paul paints there. And then he goes on to say, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. So where are they placing their hope on him? Through what time? Through a very difficult time. Through a time of affliction, through a time of pain, through a time of hurt, they're placing their hope where? On him. They're placing their hope on him. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. You also must help us by prayer. Paul clearly states that he is struggling with affliction, and he's struggling with hurt and pain and depression, really. And he's telling them very clearly, you also have to help me. By what? By prayer. And tell others. Tell others about what I'm writing to you, what I'm saying to you. Why? So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Prayer is a powerful tool, but potent prayer is a powerful tool. And how do we have potent prayers? By being real people. By being real people who have real lives, who have real struggles, and who are really honest about them. And are really honest with the people that are within our lives about them. The shadedness of hurt, the shade of pain can sometimes withhold a blessing. And I know that all too well. And I've gone through enough pain in my life of losing many family members and being in terrible circumstances and situations, to know that when I retreat and when I don't allow others to view my life, and I'm not willing to humble myself and say, hey, I'm going through some stuff, that I miss out on those blessings, that I miss out on people praying for me potently. Let's not miss out on that stuff. Let's not miss out on what God has for us through our afflictions, through our pain. Instead of retreating, let's press in. Let's press into the God of all comfort and watch what He does. Watch what He does. Paul was willing to. Paul was willing to be open. Paul was willing to be transparent. And I think that that is something that we need: transparency, openness, willingness. So I want to end with a quote from a guy named John Piper. I like John Piper. He's a pastor. This is what the quote says. We ought to celebrate the positive, glorious gifts of God, but the worth of God shines in a powerful way to the world when, in the midst of sufferings, we still don't curse God, but say, the Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How much of a light would we be to the world if we allowed them to see our suffering, but also allowed them to see that we glory God through it, and to one another? So let's be that light for one another. Let's be that comfort for one another within this body, within this church body, but let's also do that outside of this place. Let's pray.